Okay, let's go back to our study in Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. And we see in verse 1 down through verse 11, we see this fifth trumpet being sounded. The fifth trumpet being sounded. In chapter 8, 9, 10, and 11, we see all these trumpets, these seven trumpets being sounded, and they take place by the great and almighty command of God. They are sounded when he says, send forth the decree, send forth the judgment. All that takes place when that seventh seal was opened. You remember chapter 8, verse 1, when he'd opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a space of a half an hour. And the seven angels which stood before God, to them were given seven trumpets. Trumpets of judgment. The judgment of God decreed. Now, you remember that book that God had upon the throne. No man was worthy to open that book. But the Lord Jesus Christ stood forward and he took the book out of the hand of him that sat upon the throne and he opened those seven seals. And this is the seventh seal being opened. The Lord Jesus Christ is worthy to take the book to execute all the decrees of God. We saw in chapter 8 four of the angels blowing their trumpets of judgment, the judgments of God. Now in chapter 9, we see the fifth and sixth angel sounding these trumpets again. And as verse 13 ends in chapter 8, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. There's no hope for any sinner apart from Christ. By reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound, look across the page. Chapter 9, verse 12, one woe is past, and behold, two more to come. Now, where do you want to be found when all these woes are taking place? And they're taking place right now. I want to be found in that shelter, that refuge, the Lord Jesus Christ. In this chapter, the Lord sends his providential judgments on the earth to avenge his elect, to judge all rebels against him, and to vindicate himself. Remember, all judgment has been given unto the Lord Jesus Christ. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man. That man. Who is that man? One God, one mediator between God and men. That is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ has all power in heaven and earth to give salvation to his covenant people. He has also all power to judge and condemn those who are not found in him. The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Remember this about that great, great day of judgment and tribulation that will come upon the earth, that is upon the earth. Believers are brought through that tribulation by the almighty saving grace of God. Remember, turn one page back, chapter 7, Revelation chapter 7, verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these, or who are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. They came through it by the grace of God, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God. They serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. We're coming through these woe, woe, woe. His grace is sufficient to bring us through. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul reminds believers of this fact. He said, we must through great tribulation, much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And he writes those words just after he had been stoned, some think to death, for preaching the gospel. The Lord healed him. He went right back into the city and continued preaching the gospel. But he says, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Our Lord said, these words have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome. Remember what I said about that word? It's found, the same word that's found in chapter 6, Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. And I saw, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a crown, a bow and a crown, and was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. The Lord Jesus Christ is victorious. He conquers everyone and everything to his glory and to the good of God's people. Now, in verses 1 down through verse 11, we see a description of God's providential judgment that he brings to pass upon this, what he says here, the inhabitants of the earth. Here's what we learn. There will be a season of apostasy, turning from the truth unto lies, upon this earth until the Lord returns. This is a dire warning about the time in which we live. The apostle called it the last days. Now, I read to you just a moment ago, but as there was false prophets also among the people, even there shall be false teachers among you. Is there false preachers among us? The woods are full of them. The woods are full of them. Peter gives us a warning, and also, don't turn, let me just read this to you. Over in, I believe it's 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Listen to this. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. There are among us today, where we live, where we work, where we go to school, where most people meet today, there is false preaching going on this morning. Now here we learn in verse 1 and 2, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. That bottomless pit was full of fallen angels who fell from their first estate. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, smoke of a great furnace. The sun was darkened, the air became filthy by reason of the smoke from the pit. Here we learn about the fall of Satan from his position in glory as a created angel unto the pit of hell. Now, if you can turn to this one, because it's right here. Turn back right before the book of Revelation is a little book of Jude. Turn over there. The book of Jude. There's just one chapter, but verse 6. The book of Jude, verse 6. The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath preserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto that day of judgment. The same thing we read over here earlier in 2 Peter 2, verse 4. Don't turn back. Let me just read it to you again. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to the pit and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto that eternal judgment. Now, here's what we learn. God created the angels. The Lord Jesus Christ created the angels by the word of his power. And the angels, some of them, Satan being the leader of the fallen angels, they fell from their first estate. Now, This is a mysterious thing, and I don't know how to explain it, but I do believe it because the Word of God teaches it. In Luke chapter 10, verse 18, the Lord Jesus Christ said this, "I beheld Satan fall from heaven like lightning." So there was a time in which God created all the inhabitants of heaven, all the created angels, and some of them fell, led by Lucifer, and they were cast down to this bottomless pit. Now here we see the Lord opening up this pit and controlling and using the demon spirit to accomplish his eternal purpose. Satan, having rebelled against God, he lost his position of splendor and was cast out of heaven. Satan was given the key to the bottomless pit. Notice the key was given to him. The key symbolizes power and control over these demonic forces. But now the devil is God's devil. The devil under God's dominion and sovereignty. Satan has great power given unto him, but not almighty power. He's not a rival to God. He's under God's control. The power he does exercise is under the absolute control of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Now, Satan has power not to save. He has power not to kill, but rather to deceive and destroy. That's why his name is called Abaddon. He's a bad one. And Apollyon, which means destruction and death. Destruction and death. Now, out of this bottomless pit ascended a black, thick black smoke and blotted out and darkened the sun and the sky. Satan and all of his demons, they want to blot out the sun of righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they want to darken the spirit, the work of God, the Holy Spirit, the air, the prince of the power of the air, he's called, by reason of the smoke of that pit. Again, this represents the lies that Satan has promoted ever since he attacked Adam and Eve in the garden. Remember what he said when he came among Adam and Eve? Satan said, "You really won't die if you eat the fruit." You remember what God said? "In the day you eat, you'll die." But Satan came along and said, "You won't really die if you sin against God. You'll actually become like God. You'll be your own God. Set your own standard." This smoke here represents all heresy of false, man-centered, free will, works religion that is damning to those who embrace it. Now hold your place there and turn back to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Talks about it over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at verse 1. "Therefore, seeing that we have this ministry," 2 Corinthians 4:1, "as we receive mercy, we do not faint, but we renounce the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man conscious in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." So the smoke of their doctrine, they try to blot out the sun, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, "We preach not ourselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ alone." Now, let's turn over to one more scripture in 2 Corinthians 11. Turn there. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. "False apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." You remember in that same chapter, look at verse 3. "But I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity which is in Christ. For such are false apostles," verse 13, chapter 11, 2 Corinthians, "transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds. They come along and they preach morality and good works for salvation. They do not preach the Lord Jesus Christ alone. This smoke represents the heresies of false preachers who preach salvation depends upon you. Salvation is all left up to you. God's done everything He can do. Now the rest is up to you. Make no mistake, false religion is the judgment of God upon this world. Satanic delusions are a result of those who refuse to hear and love the truth. Now, we looked at this. If you'll find 2 Thessalonians, turn over there. You remember we studied this in our lesson, in our Bible study, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Those who will not receive the love of the truth. Verse 8, this is 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. Then shall the wicked be revealed, the wicked one, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Watch it now. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Well, that's strong, isn't it? But it's the truth. It's so, isn't it? It's still the truth. Now, look at verse 3. Revelation 9, verse 3. And there came out of that smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any of the thing, green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. Now, as I said in the reading earlier, these locusts here that described are not bugs. They're not insects. They represent men. They have a scorpion tail that's full of poison. Poison. The locust coming out of this pit represents all false prophets. They are the messengers of Satan who promote the religion of Antichrist. These locusts don't feed upon crops or plants of the field. They feed upon the souls of unsuspecting lost sinners. They were commanded to feed upon those that were not sealed with the seal of Christ, with the blood of Christ, those who were not washed in the blood, those who were not sealed in their forehead. Now, God's going to protect His own. God's going to protect His own. The elect of God will not be deceived. You know why? Turn back to chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 3. Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. God's people have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest token pledge of our inheritance that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan cannot touch God's elect. They're safe and secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're commanded not to touch the elect of God. False prophets cannot deceive the heart of God's elect, because they've been given a spirit of understanding, the spirit of wisdom. They know the gospel when they hear it, and they know those who are false gospel, false preachers as well. I meant to say false preachers as well. They preach a false gospel. They were commanded not to touch the elect of God because they were sealed in their forehead. We're kept by the power of God. They know who, God's people know who false prophets are, and do not bid them Godspeed or God's blessing. They do not listen to false preachers, do they? Not at all. Now, I might from time to time catch a word or two on some radio program, but I'm not interested in hearing men lie upon God. They were given power, verse 5 and 6, not to kill men, but to torment men. And to them were given that they should not kill them. God only has power to kill and make alive. But they should torment, that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. False religion only gives a false hope, which brings torment. Torment, not peace. It brings torment. And it's just for a limited period of time, this 5 months. 5 months. One day God's going to put every false preacher out of business. They won't be any longer among us. In due time, God will put every demon spirit, every false preacher in a place where they can do no more harm. Now here's what he's saying in verse 6. In those days shall men seek death. Now this is interesting. In those days men shall seek death. When they're tormented so much that they want to seek death. They want to die and shall not find it. And they shall desire to die, and death shall flee away from them. Now what a sad state. Here's what a sad state. The sting of false religion produces nothing but death. Seeking to die, finding no rest, no peace, no salvation, only guilt and condemnation. It is only the gospel of the free grace of God, of our Lord Jesus Christ, that sets sinners free. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He sets us free from the curse of the law, from the bondage of death, by his blood and righteousness alone that justifies us. Now, this is interesting here. In those days, those who were tormented and bitten with false preaching and believing false preaching, they shall seek death and shall not find it. They shall desire to die and not find death. Now, did you notice something that was missing? These men do not seek the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not desire to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. They desire to die. Like those men in chapter 6 who cried to the rocks and mountains, you remember? Fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. They do not seek the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what the scriptures teach. Jeremiah 29, our Lord said, "You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." The scriptures tell us to seek the Lord, to call upon the Lord. In Isaiah 55, our Lord says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He's nigh to them of a broken heart. Save us such as be of a contrite spirit." Our Lord said, "Come unto me and be ye saved." These men, because they're bitten by the scorpion full of poison and deceived by the smoke of the locust, they seek death, not life. They seek to die, not seeking salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what a sad state. And so many people are so deluded in their delusion that they shall believe a lie and be damned. Now, in verse 7, 8, 9, and 10, we have a description of these locusts. Now again, these locusts are not bugs, they're men. They're not insects, although they like to bug people with their false doctrine. Here we see the characteristics of those that are let loose from that bottomless pit and who are influenced by the demon spirits of Satan. And the shapes of those locusts were like unto horses. Let's read this and go back over it. Prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns of gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as a woman. Teeth like a lion. They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, hard-hearted. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots. Many horses running to battle. They make a lot of commotion, big noise. And they had tails like unto scorpion, and their stings in their tails. And there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men, not help men, to hurt men these 5 months. Now, God's servants preach one message, salvation accomplished by him, dependent and determined upon him, Christ alone. That's why Paul said, we preach Christ. We preach Christ. Christ and him crucified, determined to preach him. No one else. Satan's messengers preach many things, but their message is always, they always make salvation dependent upon you. What you do, your will, your work, your doing, your baptism, your membership, you, do. God's servants, their message is done. It is finished. The Lord Jesus Christ accomplished all our salvation. Now, you remember Elijah on Mount Carmel? We studied about in 1 Kings 18. You remember there was that great contest between Elijah and the prophet of Baal? And Elijah said, the God that answers by fire, he is God. And they had that big contest about the God that would answer from fire. And those false prophets, they cried and cried and cried and danced around the altar and did all these different things. And Elijah mocked them. He said, why don't you call out a little bit louder? Maybe your God's on vacation. Maybe he's just sleeping. And then Elijah, he set that altar apart, made a sacrifice on that altar, poured 12 barrels of water on that altar and around the altar so there was no gimmick. And he said, Lord God, let it be known this day that thou art God. And fire fell and licked up the water, licked up the sacrifice. And what did Elijah do to those? I think there was 400 prophets of Baal and the other prophets of the grove, 800 some people. He took them all out and killed every one of them. That's what false preachers deserve. Death. Death. And Elijah made fun of them. I don't mind making fun of false preachers. They need to be made fun of. They represent themselves as horses prepared for the battle. You see that in verse 7. These false preachers are always, they put themselves forth as mighty warriors. I'm doing a great, I'm in the service, I'm doing a great thing for the Lord. They always present themselves as mighty warriors. They do not present the one who is the mighty warrior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, they love the honor and riches of men. Notice wearing crowns of gold, as it were crowns of gold. It's fool's gold. That means, and I take that to mean, they love the praises of men more than the honor of Christ. Paul said in Galatians 1, those who preach another gospel, let them be accursed. If we preach to please men, we're not the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the last part of verse 7. They had faces, their faces were the faces of men. They present themselves as humble men, rather seeking to flatter the flesh and boast in the flesh. Verse 8, they lure like women, like a harlot. They had hair as the hair of women and teeth as it were the teeth of lions. When we get over to chapter 17, false religion is called the woman, the harlot, Babylon. And that's what these men are. Harlots. They sell out, have sold out God. They do not seek the glory of God and the good of God's people. They had hair as a woman. They have teeth. They have teeth like a lion. They will hunt you down like a lion and devour you with their teeth. They'll chew you up and spit you out. Our Lord said this of the Pharisees. He said, you compass, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when you made him, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. They compass sea and land to recruit you and to make you, they hunt you down like lions. And a lion will chew up and devour its prey and spit you out, use you and throw you away. Look at verse 9. They had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. They're hard-hearted. Hearts like steel, defending themselves and protecting themselves. Breastplates of iron. False prophets present themselves as invincible men, don't they? Rather than men humbled. John, who are you? I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness. This word breastplate here, make you a reference here, Ephesians 6:14. Believers have put on the whole armor of God, which includes, you remember, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. They make a lot of noise. The sound of wings. This great locust army. The sound of chariots of many horses running to the battle. They make a lot of noise, like chariots, like charging horses, calling attention to their achievements, their building, their budgets. They're bragging on what they've done for the Lord. How many souls they've won to the Lord. Y'all been preaching the gospel for over 40 years. You know, I've never won one soul to the Lord. Not one. It's the Lord's business, not mine. The Lord's won a lot of souls. I've not won one. Zero. You see, it's the Lord's salvation, not ours. So we preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't make a lot of noise. Brag about our budgets, our building. I remember preaching a funeral for our dear brother Earl Blackburn, and his family invited a free will preacher to help me conduct the service. And I didn't need any help, but anyhow, we sat up there on the pulpit behind the body, waiting for the service to begin. And all he did for the next 10 or 15 minutes, brag about everything he'd done for the Lord. How big his congregation was, how many he's running in Sunday school, how many buses he had, all these things he was doing, going on and on and on and on. And I guess he expected me to say, man, you're something. Well, he read scripture. I don't remember what he read, but I got up afterward and preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That man would not even look at me. He got out of there as fast as he could run. He skedaddled out of there. He didn't want no part of me, no part of my message, no part of the gospel. He heard the truth and rejected it. He rejected it. So they make a lot of noise, but there's no substance. No substance. Look at verse 10. They had tails like unto scorpions, and their stings in their tails. They had tails like unto scorpion, and their stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men. All they have is poison. A snake, a rattlesnake. I'm terrified of rattlesnakes. I don't want to get bit by a rattlesnake. I don't want to get bit by a scorpion. All they have nothing but poison. Run from them as fast as you can. Snakes, scorpions, false preachers. Run from them as fast as you can. Now, they had power to hurt men, not to help them. False doctrine, false prophets do not teach the way of salvation. They teach the way of death and destruction. There's a way that seems right unto men. The end of that way is death. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Now, this is interesting here. I'm going to quit with this. Notice verse 11. They had a king over them. Oh, they serve a king. It's not the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But they have a king over them. He's the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew is Abaddon, but in the Greek, his name is Apollyon. Now, why do you reckon he gives it in the Hebrew language is the language of the Jews. And then in the Greek language here, in the Greek tongue, it's the language of the Gentiles. So everybody will know, Jew or Gentile, that the angel from the bottomless pit and his ministers are nothing, as the marginal reference has, a destroyer. Destruction, death, and a destroyer of men, not the salvation of men. The army of locusts who have the king over them, this evil angel of the bottomless pit, the evil king whose name is nothing but death, given in the Hebrew language and in the Greek language. Satan targets all men, whether you're Jew or Gentile, and that's what's being said there. He targets all men, Jew or Gentile. Satan's work is nothing but to terrorize, bring death and destruction. He targets all men outside of Christ. If you're not trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got a target on your head. Oh, I tell you, save me from false preaching. Lead me to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 12. One woe is past. Behold, there come two more woes hereafter. Woe, 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 woe. Well, next week we'll look at verse 13 down through verse 21.